Welcome to part two of MUFON Under Siege, our special series. This interview with Chase Klonsky, who was the star team person to go to originally. And the last time I talked to her, she was really, really excited. But since then, she became disenchanted and joined another organization. We have Chase on the line with us from Memphis, Tennessee, at our home. And Chase, we'll get to the drama queen again in a moment, but you said you wanted to do it your way. You have four reasons that you want to lay out why you're no longer with MUFON.
I'm so sorry. I don't want to control this interview, but, it really was so much drama. This was at the time of all the firings. The DOI was on a roll. She was cleaning house. Just happened to be all very, prominent women, very strong women that were, working very hard and had voices and asked questions, but that's okay. But the drama, it was just old. There was always such an emphasis on what do we do about what that person said? What do we do about what that person's doing? I remember the horror and the angst that James Carrion was going to make a public stand on a radio show. Ken Cherry's going to write a tell-all book with Jim Mars. Oh, my gosh, Elaine Douglas is forming a group against MUFON, After a while, it's just, who cares? Who cares? We keep our head down. We keep working. We keep finding these great cases that were trusted to us, and we went in the big picture. That was always my contribution back. That was always my advice. Who cares? Let's just do our job. Don't worry what everybody else is doing or saying. Who cares if they're starting their own group? We have over 500 cases reported to us a month. That is not an exaggeration. That's true numbers from them. We have 40 years of data and experience. We're a scientific organization, right? Aren't we? Then I'd listen to the strategy and I'd stand still and just cringe sometimes. It was just obnoxious. But I stand on the principle, Jerry, that if we just focused on what we were supposed to be doing, we'd win in the end. Why call people out? Why discredit honest people just because you didn't like something they said or they don't like us today? Who cares? Grow up. That was seriously my job or my attitude. Then I get this email, and in the bottom of the email, there was this little supplement, and I promise I'm getting to the big why Chase left. There's just this little statement at the bottom saying that there's going to be a procedure supplement for the STAR Team manual. Okay, well, who wrote that, and could I see it first, and what's it about? Well, apparently it was about an NBC policy, which is nuclear, biological, or chemical. And NBC just kind of being military or homeland security for, any kind of hazardous material. I was a little stunned when I saw it, Jerry, because the STAR Team manual clearly already addressed this, which was, if you suspect or have any reading or verification that there is any kind of nuclear, biological, or chemical influence or contamination, our investigators are to immediately step out of that zone, get to a safe spot, and call me. At that point, as STAR Team manager, I would contact the appropriate people for further instruction. And the instruction was going to be difficult because in today's environment of homeland security, what are you going to do? So I kind of relayed that and put it out there and, just kind of thought, okay, that makes sense, right? I guess it didn't, because there was also told me that they were also going to do this demonstration on how to properly put on a hazmat suit at the next symposium. Well, I'm a little peeved at this point. One, because nobody's talked to me about these new policies for the STAR Team, and I'm the STAR Team manager and responsible for that. So I responded to this email with such questions as, and I am quoting here, do we have proper updated hazmat suits, you know, that have been inspected and not the ones that have been in Cliff's garage for 3 years? If we train our investigators to properly suit up, how would you like them to take them off, especially if they are contaminated? Will there be a full decontamination process at the scene? How would you like them to dispose of those hazmat suits? Maybe a dumpster on the way home? Would you like them to do with the evidence? Put it in their trunk, the nearest mailbox? Maybe even, you know, you're getting my point here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the federal, state, and local laws in consideration when asking our volunteers to enter a scene like this? Do we have bail money if they're caught? Because it won't be a little trip to a local police station. It's straight to Homeland Security. Are we prepared, quite frankly, and insured for any possible harm to any investigator that is guided and believes that they are properly trained to effectively enter a contaminated area? Those were just off the top of my head. I think they were serious considerations that we should at least talk about before you start demonstrating to a group of people, hey, this is what you do if things get tough or you suspect radiation. I think it's more serious than that. And I never, ever planned on ever putting a volunteer, somebody's mom, dad, brother, daughter, son, in harm's way. That's not our intent, no matter how bad we want that evidence. Because what are we going to do with it anyway? Does that make sense?
Yes, most certainly that makes sense. And, hey, do you know if MUFON's ever had a case where there's hazardous material laying around?
I have heard of MUFON cases where they were suspected, and we do get readings of, you know, certain scientific readings that would definitely make us back off. I've never heard of a real contamination site, but we need to prepare for
that. I mean, would it even be legal for a volunteer from MUFON to be around a site like that?
Well, I think our thing was if they were there first, our team was a rapid response. So if they were like the first responder, they were the first ones there, we would want them to know, don't go in there. There's way too many things that you may not think of because, like me, you know, just say you walk into a Roswell situation, you've got a down craft, you've got some aliens laying out there, who wouldn't run to that alien, you know? So, I think there's, you know, considerations when you're trying to put together a big program that you try to cross your T's and dot your I's. Our policy at the STAR team was there to remove themselves. Just the Homeland Security protocol, just the fact of what are you going to do if you get the evidence and it's contaminated. Any MBC site, we're going to pull you back. We can do so much more, you know, taking pictures, getting samples, you know, documenting the cards, the cover-up, you know. So there were many other things that we could do. An email was eventually released from Cliff and Malzahn agreeing that the STAR team protocol and any further instruction, I'm sorry, that the STAR team protocol was good. Any other instruction would definitely be harmful. I also addressed in that email that, you know, if we were going to have a discussion and supplements to the STAR team manual, we had some talent on the STAR team that I would like to include in these discussions. Considering that they're professional and they're current and they work in these industries as we speak. And that was my second, how dare you, Chase. Because you see, at the time, the DOI had a policy that only those that filled out an application were considered STAR team members. This had to do with the confidentiality agreement. Nobody that did not have that application sitting at headquarters and on our roster was to be considered STAR team. No one. So you can imagine that Chase just stepped in a hornet's nest. At first I thought I just pissed off the good old boys, but I realized and was told specifically that there were 7 STAR team investigators that have been doing this long before Bigelow came along, long before Chase was around. And I can just need to know my place. And this email with me including these other people was to just bring in some new talent, you know, get my star team in there. Well, the people that I was going against that originated this star team supplement were very angry at me at this point because I just questioned them with some hard questions about NBC policy, and I also said I would like these people involved. It really was, who do you think you are? That's exactly what I got back.
Well, now, Chase, who was telling you this? I mean, was it Clifford, or was it the drama queen?
This one, they were pretty much non-existent at that point. They were not getting involved in this one. They would not get involved. At this point, I had a phone call from a deputy director. And I promise you, there are witnesses that were at my house when this phone call came in. They heard every word out of this man's mouth. He was angry. He was shaking as he was telling me, do you know who I am? I have shaken hands of every president except President Clinton, and I didn't shake his hand because I chose not to. You have no idea who you're talking to. And what I said was, well, no, because you can't have any information on this. Why would you write something? You're not even on a star team. Why wouldn't this? Oh, my gosh. There we go. I don't have to fill out an application. I am part of the 7 original star team members. I am the person that personally introduced MUFON to Robert Bigelow. You don't know who you're dealing with, Chase, and know your place.
Are you talking about John Schuessler? He's the one that was on the Bigelow board and the MUFON board. He's the one who got Bigelow involved.
It wasn't him.
Well, had you heard of this guy before?
Yeah, I knew of him. I had never heard one word from him. He never had any input in the program. He knew I was designing it. I've never heard one word.
Chase, don't keep me in suspense. Are you going to tell me who it is? I need to know who this guy is.
I'll tell you who it is because, you know, these aren't my secrets to keep. I'll be honest with you. That's why I've decided to finally, you know, tell people why I left because they're not mine. The weight of the situation is old. I'm still getting emails and messages from people who want to know what happened. And most are sincerely looking for an answer or a piece of the information that validates something they already suspect. Some are just curious. But I feel there's no reason whatsoever to stay silent anymore because it obviously hasn't helped anyone. And truthfully, they're not my secrets to keep. They're heavy, they're on my shoulders, and I'm washing my hands of the whole experience completely. That's my motive.
Who was this guy?
The reason I didn't come out right away is because, and it's hard to admit this because I tend to be a strong woman, I was devastated. I was devastated leaving. I didn't want to not be the star team manager. I didn't want to quit. I had to. I was forced in a corner where I was going to have to lie to the very people I promised I wouldn't. I was asked for information that I was not going to give people who did not need it, knowing what I knew about these specific people. When we had a case, the Florida case was great. We were getting better at catching these cases and securing the information to the witnesses. And we happened to catch this reported landing in Washington, the state of Washington. Now, this is after my phone call of do you know who I am, my 30-minute reprimand. The chest beating that this man did, demanding that I know how important he was and everything he's done in his life. Of course, what I wanted to ask him was, okay, so that's great. That's awesome. It's so admirable. But what have you contributed to humanity? I mean, what have you done to this field? Where are your studies? Where are your investigations? How are you helping out? I haven't heard from you since I became star team manager. This is the first time you're calling me to tell me that there's 7 of you that do anything you want. There's absolutely no oversight. And is this where our cases are disappearing? Is this where some of these are going? Because I still get state directors calling me, begging me, Chase, what is going on with our cases disappearing? is this where they're going? Are you guys still active?
What did they say?
These seven original Star Team, you know, are they still? Well, apparently they are, but we're not going to know anything about them. I was never told, and I even asked Marie, the DOI, and she absolutely, and I did believe her this time, she said she didn't know anything. She said, Chase, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of that before. The director of investigation, Marie Malzahn, at least what she told me, was she knew nothing about it. Do you know I never heard another word about these seven again? My questions went unanswered. Nobody would talk about it. And we had that landing, a reported landing, I want to say alleged, but it went to the state of Washington.
When did that landing in Washington happen with the UFO and the ET?
This was probably Thursday or Friday, so it had to have been like February 10th or 11th, that it was reported.
You're talking this year?
Yes. And we were on.
And this guy who called you and said he didn't like Clinton, he knew about it?
Yeah, well, we found it, yes. So the assistant Star Team manager, the regional Star Team manager, and myself secured the witness's information. We did not steal it off the CMS. It was absolutely all done above board, but we protected this witness's name, address, and phone number. Oh, my gosh. My phone went off the ringer demanding the information from that case right now. They didn't ask for a name, Jerry. They didn't ask for the phone number. They didn't ask if our investigators needed any equipment, needed any help. He wanted those GPS coordinates, and he wanted them right now.
Who were these people?
This was Chuck Modlin, the same one who called me with, "Do you know who I am?"
Give me his name again. I've never heard of him.
You've never heard of Chuck Modlin?
No.
So, well, he's a deputy director, and that's exactly who called me with this.
I mean,
two witnesses at my house heard every word.
Wait a minute, Chase. Jane Swartley, our producer. Jane, can you find out about Chuck Modlin? I never heard of the guy. Okay, Chase, we're going to check. He says he knows all these presidents, huh?
He's been around. He's been a MUFON for quite some
time. We're checking right now, Chase. I don't think he's been at MUFON that long. Less than 5 years, I bet. We're going to find out.
I'm kind of the new girl with this. This is a man who, if he is that severe in MUFON and that prominent, you'd think I would have heard from him before then. It was only when we started getting good enough, Jerry, that we were hitting these cases, and we were getting there first, and we were getting our evidence, and it started getting a lot of attention. And when we secured this information, he was livid. I would not give him that information because he was not in the proper chain of command. I had not been authorized to do so, and I wasn't going to be the person who compromised our own case. I knew exactly what this was. He didn't ask for anything except those GPS
coordinates. Okay, we found two things out about Chuck Modlin already. He's listed as Director of Investigations at MUFON, and he's been a member only about 3.5 years. At least that's the information I have from a state director who knows him. We're getting more information on Chuck Modlin, and we'll give that in a moment, but let's move on from Mr. Personality there to this Washington case, an encounter with a UFO. Do you know anything else about it?
No. It actually turned out not to be anything, is what I was told. And at this point, whatever. I knew we were done. We were not supposed to be successful. I don't know what these seven were doing.
It's been told that that report of that encounter is on the MUFON site, and it finally was decided that it was a helicopter. So Mr. Chuck did that, and I have a note here that former international director thinks that Chuck Modlin might be an insider with the U.S. government. Let's talk about, we'll talk about Chuck. Let me ask you right now. He said that he was a member of the original seven-man star team well before Bigelow. Well, unless our information is wrong, he's lying. He hasn't been with MUFON except for about 3.5 years, maybe 4 years at the most, and the Bigelow thing came right about that time. Wonder why he'd say that. Wonder who the other seven are, or the other six.
What he told me is they were the original seven star team members that were around way before Bigelow, way before SIP, way before Chase Klutsky.
And no one at MUFON would or could tell you about this original seven?
Malzahn said she knew nothing about, she had never heard of that before, and I never heard another word. Any questions? At this point, I couldn't get anybody to respond to an email. Cliff wouldn't answer back. I was completely cut off. Nobody was talking to me anymore because I wanted to know who these seven were, and if you weren't going to tell me, because I wanted to know who these seven were, and if you weren't going to tell me...
Do you have any idea who the other seven might be or the other six?
I'm suspicious, but I don't. The only reason I even speak...
More news coming in on Chuck Modlin. His wife evidently is an attorney, and she recently became state director in Wisconsin. And I guess that's where he lives. I wonder what he's doing with that information.
And I asked them, I said, well, what do you do with this information? What are you going to do? Are you in the state of Washington? Can you help? I mean, what are you doing with this information? It gets a little worse. There was no answer. I was demanded to give him that information. I did not do it. Malzahn calls me, demands that from now on, every single Star Team case, the first person I call is Chuck Modlin. I am to give him full disclosure on every single piece of...
So, is this guy running the Star Team? I mean...
He wasn't running it from...
Well, I mean, if he has to know first, it sounds like he's running it.
This was something that was all new to me. You know, never heard of these people before, never heard of this. And, you know, so I'm kind of sitting back, and my answer is no, I am not going to do that. Because what are they doing with the information? What are they... If they're selling it to Bigelow, which I don't know this. This is my thought process. If they're selling it to Bigelow... They're selling it to, you know, another aerospace company. I don't want to keep picking on Bigelow, but are they giving it to the government? Are they discrediting? Are they disrupting us as a government, you know, plant? It doesn't matter. Whatever they're doing with it, the public doesn't know. Our members aren't aware. Our state directors aren't told. And it's secrecy. And it doesn't belong in our organization. And I'm not going to have any part of it. And when I tried to get a hold of Cliff, he did not return my calls in 5 days. I did not get a returned email. Chuck Reber did not return anything. Marie Malzahn wouldn't even pick up her phone. It was insane. And all I wanted was, what are these guys? Are they really? I answer to them now. What is going on, and where is this information going? The way the Star Team, when you have a report of anything, that state director is your lifeline. They know their state. They know their best talent. They know the easiest way to get there. They know the back roads. Why would I cut them out? And you have to remember, Jerry, I made a promise when I first became Star Team manager to every one of these people, because of their bad experiences from the last one, that I was not going to be that leader. I was not going to do that to them.
Now, I asked Clifford Cliff when you left why you left, and he said he had no idea. He seemed as shocked as I was.
There's probably some truth in that. He wouldn't. He never returned my calls or nothing, and... Mm-hmm. Granted, he was busy. That was during the time when, you know, Leslie and, I guess, Elaine had just gotten their letters. And I'm only saying their names because they've all come out very publicly. So, you know, I'm not trying to bag anybody or hurt anybody. But, you know, Cliff does have a full plate. But we were always told to be very careful calling Cliff because he's overwhelmed. He's stressed out. He's not doing well. His health. We're worried about him. I was told not to call Chuck Griebel.
Who told you that?
Marie Malzahn.
Okay.
Everything goes through this woman. Everything in MUFON now goes through Marie Malzahn. Everything. There's not a single decision, anything that does not go through this woman.
Well, she's not been with MUFON very long, has she?
You see, and I wasn't in headquarters long enough to get all these...
Yeah, okay.
What I will tell you is, you know, we were told that, I guess, poor Cliff puts out an email talking about her outstanding credentials, and that's why she's invited to the board of directors, talking about her record as a state director. Well, the emails went flying after that, well, it's easy to be a good state director when you've never had a meeting, you never started a chapter, you had one investigator. I mean, she was in Idaho. She was the only one, you know. It's, you know, so, you know, all those jokes went through. Marie did tell me one time she did work a Star Team case. She got $600 and never left her house. Okay. Yay. Good for you, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, and most people know this, I had no respect for her after about 60 days of working for her. Her tactics were amateur. I think she had a motive. I don't know what it was, but I was scared for MUFON. And I did not like the way the back talk, you know, the inner circle, as she calls them, everyone else in MUFON calls them her minions, but her inner circle, you know, I was part of that. You know, I know what the back chatter is. I know what the, you know, Friday night calls at 10 o'clock because, you know, this is the latest drama. I was there. I know how they handle it, and it disgusted me. I'm going to be honest with you. Going after people who ask questions, publicly reprimanding MUFON members. Let's not forget, most volunteers do something. They give up their time. They take it away from their families. Let's not forget, I pay for that membership. For me to keep my position, I owe you money every year. I buy that, don't I? Chance to give you 60 and 80 hours a week. You know, to be slapped in the face. I don't know who this guy was. I don't even know if what he was telling me was the truth. This is a phone call I got, and Marie backed him 150%. This was not what I was told when Chuck Reaver and I discussed the new Star Team. It was going to be upfront. There were going to be no secret agendas, no secret squirrel societies. I would have nothing to do with any of that. And because I made these promises, Jerry, what I was asked to do, and in the big picture of everything I knew, I was going to have to lie to people. I was going to have to keep quiet about certain things, and I didn't sign up for that. One of the people I talked to that wanted nothing to do with this Star Team was Elaine Douglas. And I remember speaking with her on the phone and promising her, Elaine, I'll quit first. I will never, ever violate a state's, the territory. Why would I do that? I need the state director. You know, I will never secretly do investigations against the membership.
I talked to Elaine today, and, you know, her committee to reform MUFON, I don't think it's unreasonable, the membership being able to vote on the board of directors. What's wrong with that?
Of course. I think it's reasonable, too, but... You know, I wouldn't sign it because MUFON's not going to change. You know, there is, in my opinion, and take it or leave it, you know, trust me or don't, it seriously, there's an agenda there. And I don't know if it goes to the board. What I can tell you is this man called me and told me everything I needed to know. And he did it as beating his chest. You know, like, do you know, and that's exactly what he said, do you know who I am? He was shaking. My husband was so offended by this phone call, where he was one of the two witnesses to this phone call, by the way. He was so offended, half of him was laughing at him, and the other half was ready to, you know, grab that phone and tell this man who he was talking to.
Okay, we have more on Chuck Modlin. He is a veteran of the U.S. Navy, has something in common with your husband, Chase. And secondly, let's see, I guess he worked at Livermore Laboratories. That's probably where that hazard suit thing came. I think he did do a, I have a note here from Jane. He did a hazard suit display or demonstration, I think, in 2008 at the symposium that MUFON holds.
Don't come up with the NBC policy until you answer these questions or at least include me. You know, obviously, what I was saying was reasonable because it didn't happen. But from that moment on, I had nothing but trouble, including I cannot even secure my own cases. Now, right after I left, I was forwarded many emails from many people. Everybody wanted to keep me in the loop with MUFON. And what they didn't realize is I don't want to be. You know, I wasn't sitting here licking wounds. I was devastated and heartbroken because I love MUFON. I love that.
Well,
job.
Chase, it's pretty sad. Great organization like MUFON, and they let it get screwed up because of personalities and not taking care of business. All they had to do was communicate with you, in my opinion.
The MUFON that I thought I joined.
I mean, yeah. Clifford Cliff could have returned your emails and telephone calls. The Lady Marine could back off.
I see, and honestly, Jerry, if I had those answers, I'd feel more satisfied. You know, Cliff is absolutely right. I don't know. I assumed. I was told. Malzahn told him everything. I was stunned when I found out he was upset I left. I thought they were waiting for this. From the phone call I got and the harassment and the orders I got from Marie, she knew I was leaving. Obviously he knew. I don't think he did. And it shocked me. And I apologized to him for that after. I said, me not talking to you after I left, Cliff, was not disrespectful. I had made my decision. I'm not coming back. What is going on in MUFON? I don't know where he fits in this. But you know what? You don't lose a star team manager and half of your state officers within 90 days and not ask questions from the person who's responsible for all of it, the DOI. So I do hold him responsible. If you weren't being told, Cliff, why aren't you asking?
Chase, I appreciate you coming on and being very candid with your remarks about MUFON. And to sum it up, I guess we can say you just did not care for their management style and some of the managers.
You're absolutely right, because I've already seen Malzahn's tactics with people. I've already seen, what she does. So in my resignation letter, I very politely said I resigned my position. This is the date. This is how I'm going to send the equipment back. I didn't give it, because if I gave them an explanation, I know how they'd spin it and start the discrediting. I had a lot of friends still in MUFON. I adore these people in MUFON. I hope I keep them after coming out. I think a lot of people appreciated me not saying anything, and a lot of people wanted me to come out swinging. So,
well, you came out swinging. You got any final swinging comments?
And so-called ufologists are the cruelest, nastiest, craziest people I've ever encountered. Close quote. We shouldn't be that way. The stakes are too high, Jerry. The stakes are too high, and there's way too much to do and not a lot of time to do it in. That's just my personal opinion. You got me going here, Gary. I'm just like, ah.
Well, Chase, I think we're going to leave it at that.